everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I'm looking forward to sharing today's guest with you. Terry Boyle McDougall is a career coach and CEO of Terry B. McDougall Coaching. She helps high-achieving women remove obstacles that keep them stuck so they can enjoy more success and satisfaction in their lives and careers. Before becoming a coach, Terry was a longtime corporate marketing executive where she led teams, developed strategies, and advised senior leaders to drive business results. She is the author of Winning the Game of Work, Career Happiness, and Success on Your Terms, and I'm really looking forward to sharing her today. So with all that being said, Terry, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Oh, Dori, it's great to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. So I want to jump right in because I really like what you've done with your book, and the book title refers to work as a game. So tell us why you see it that way.
Well, you know, one of the things that I recognized as I was sort of starting my career and I guess as I learned some lessons along the way is that initially I thought that what helped me be successful as a student in high school and college and graduate school would also be what helped me be successful at work. And it took me a while to sort of see behind the veil and realize that it takes a different skill set to succeed in the workplace than it did at school. For one thing, there aren't clear-cut, I guess, rules and objectives that you're told when you go into the workplace. A lot of times you have to figure out what really works in the workplace. People don't necessarily come out and tell you what it takes to be successful. And, you know, some of the things that I thought, for example, that if I just kept my head down and quietly did great work, that I would be recognized and I would succeed in the workplace actually don't work and, in fact, can be counterproductive. So I guess what I recognized was that if you start to treat work like a game and you start to be a little bit more strategic about how you look at work and figure out what works and what doesn't, you can begin to be more successful.
I think that's a great analogy. So you have a family, you've led a long corporate career, and now you are a coach and an entrepreneur. What tips do you have for other mompreneurs on how to balance that work-family life?
You know, you really have to do what works for you in whatever season of your life you're in. My husband and I have probably tried just about every combination of working and caring for our family that you can even imagine. I guess the one thing, we never had a nanny, but we did when our first child was born. We had our kids in daycare. My husband and I both worked. As time went on, I had an opportunity for a big promotion. Then we moved from North Carolina to Chicago, and my husband and I decided that he would stay home and be the stay-at-home parent while I work. And then he actually started his own business as a professional photographer once our youngest child started school. And then, you know, fast forward, I guess, about, you know, 10 or 12 years. And when I left the corporate world, we were both entrepreneurs for a few years. And then he actually recently went back to work. And so I guess I would say, you know, you just have to look at your own situation and decide what works for you and not feel like there's any right or wrong way to make this happen.
It's amazing how that is the best advice so many people give. There is really no cookie cutter that you have. You have to see what works best for you and how to work together. And congratulations to your husband that he built his business from home while your kids were younger, because I think that kids get a great perspective when dad is home and working to help with the family. My middle son and his wife, my son works, they have a 5.5-month-old. So he's 40 hours, but in 4 days. And now she's starting back on the days he doesn't work. They work in the same place. They're recreation directors in a nursing home. So it's so funny. She started last week and baby doesn't like to take a bottle. And I'm like, she was so scared. I was like, trust me, she won't starve. She's
right.
not going to let herself starve.
Yes.
She will take the bottle.
Yes.
And she did. But it is, you know, it really is about finding what balances in your life and what works for you. So let's go back. In 2017, when you left your job after 12 years at your company, what prompted you to make that change and what have you learned from it?
Well, I guess first of all, to just give a little context, the company that I worked for was, their headquarters is in Canada, and I'm here in the Chicagoland area. And when I went to work at the company, I kind of came in at the highest level. Maybe there were like one or two people at a level higher than me in marketing in the U.S. There was really no place for me to go within the company, but in the 12 years that I was there, I moved around and I did different things. I kind of moved laterally and it kept the job interesting for me, but I got to a point where I just kind of realized that what I was good at and what I really enjoyed doing, that there probably weren't that many opportunities for me to do that type of work at the company anymore. And I did interview outside the company, but it just ended up that because of some other changes that were going on within the organization, that I was able to take advantage of sort of a restructuring and leave the company, you know, on good terms, but for me to really have the freedom to think about what did I really want to do. And I did what I actually advise a lot of my career clients to do, which is I started thinking, like, what do I really like to do and what am I good at? And as a marketing leader, one of the things that I always invested a lot of time and energy in was mentoring and coaching my staff. I got a lot of satisfaction out of that, but I also got a lot of, you know, great results by, you know, training and mentoring and coaching and trusting my staff to bring their best. So when I recognized that that was something that I really had a heart for, I decided to get a certification in coaching. And quite frankly, initially, I did not plan on doing it full time. I really planned on, you know, taking a few months off, getting the certification, and then getting another job and just doing the coaching on the side. But as I was going through the program, and I'd say probably half the people that were going through the program with me were planning to make a big shift from full-time employment to full-time entrepreneurship, I just decided that I would give it a shot. And, you know, it's been, I guess it'll be 4 years in 2021, so coming up in the next few months since I left, and I'm still here. I'm still standing, and I'm making money. And, you know, it's been an interesting challenge, and I really love it. I have a lot more passion for this at this point in my career than I would if I were to get back into marketing.
As an executive and career coach, what are the most common reasons you see for clients seeking you?
There are a couple of common reasons. One is, you know, sometimes when there's a change or when somebody's gotten promoted in their role, they don't mentally promote themselves. And so they're running into a lot of challenges because they're actually not using all of the resources that they actually have the authority to use. And so sometimes just helping people kind of shift their mindset and recognize that they're now a higher level leader and that they've got to put the frameworks in place to be able to leverage all of the resources at their disposal, that sometimes, you know, just that training and the mind shift and helping them kind of set up systems so that they can leverage what's at their disposal, that's one of the big things that I work with people on. And then one of the other things that I tend to have people coming to me with is that they've been doing something for a long time and they've kind of outgrown it. And so just helping them figure out what's next. And I really try to help people sort of get in touch with, well, I guess I will say to people that even when they say they don't know what they want to do next, I tell them I believe that they do on some level know what they want to do next. And they just need to allow that part of themselves to sort of, they need to listen for it and kind of develop that a little bit and to start listening and self-validating the things that they enjoy instead of looking outside themselves for the validation. And I think that I suppose in some ways that's what I did, is that I really stopped and I said, you know, Terry, what is it that you really like to do? You know, what are you doing when you get butterflies in your stomach, when you get excited? Like, what is it that causes that kind of reaction? And, you know, that's really the first step of what I help people with when they're sort of at a crossroads. And then the second step is like stepping into believing that they can chart a new path to something new. And I'd say probably the hardest thing with that is just believing that it's possible. But once they believe, and then it's just sort of like blocking and tackling. You know, it's really starting to network and to look for those opportunities where they can kind of plug themselves into something that feels more exciting and more authentic to where they are in their lives at that point.
Do you find there's a commonality in that difficulty to self-validate?
Yeah, you know, when I talked about the book and winning the game of work, I think that this is one of the really important pivot points where people can like allow their energy to flow towards being happy and successful at work rather than, being successful in a way where it's almost like they have their foot on the brake and the accelerator at the same time, where there's a lot of friction and, you know, they're successful, but they're not necessarily in the flow or happy about it. And I think that one of the things that high achieving people are trained to do in school is to kind of sublimate their own needs and their own desires and focus really on external validation. So what does the teacher want? You know, what do I need to do to get into this good college? What do I need to do to get hired for this company? And at some point, you need to like sort of shift and start to bring that validation back inside of you and to say to yourself, like, what do I want to do? What do I need to do? What do I believe is good enough? Because I will tell you that I end up coaching a lot of people who are actually in very, very much no-win situations at work. Like, for example, I mean, this happened to me where I had a colleague who ran another marketing department, and she was let go, and my boss gave me both my current job and my colleague's job. I did not get a raise. I had, you know, twice as many internal stakeholders that I needed to please. I had twice the staff, and I recognized that I was not going to be able to do both of these jobs in the way that two people had done it. But I've coached a lot of people. I sort of set a boundary for myself to say, these are how many hours I'm going to work. This is where I'm going to look for efficiencies. And if I can't do as good of a job as me and Mary, who was my former colleague, you know, clearly I can't do two people's jobs. I'm one person. And I just said to myself, this is good enough, right? Because this company has made a decision that, you know, I could kill myself and I still would not be able to do both of those jobs. And so I think it's really important to like make a decision about what is good enough for you, because many organizations will never say that's good enough. You know, they'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing people. And for people who, you know, have trained themselves to focus on external validation, they will burn out, they will be unhappy, they will have health issues because they haven't set boundaries.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
She is brave. She is strong. She is you, because you're that woman who's got a product or a service that you're looking to promote, or you're out there seeking to support other women in business. Mompreneur marketers are here to help women learn, network, and build the businesses of their dreams, because when you win, we win.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Don't let the name fool you, because stadiumbags.com has a line of clear bags that enable you to use your phone and your smart devices without removing them from your bag. Not only that, but the product is so good it'll stand up to the cleaning solvents that you need to use now to make sure that when you come home safely. So take a look at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we're your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Terry Boyle McDougall. And I love what you just said, because we say it all the time, done is better than perfect. So it's really true that there's, you know, there are always going to be those levels of what is good enough. So right now, what's the thing you're proudest of in your life?
You know, I think the thing that I'm proudest of in my life is being able to, well, I mean, my kids are 23, 21, and 17, and they're all at good places in their lives. And I think I'm proud of the fact that, you know, the work that I've done has helped me to get them there. And I've got good relationships with them, and I've got a good marriage. And I'm doing something that's, you know, different, and I think honors what I'd like to get out of life, that I'm not sort of, you know, sacrificing or compromising in a way that doesn't honor, like, me as a person.
Well, I'm going to flip it. What's one of your biggest failures, and what did you learn from it?
You know, it's funny. I actually am part of a mastermind group with some other coaches, and we met this morning. And I think one of, I don't know if I would call it a failure. I actually don't really believe in failure. I believe in that we learn, right? That, yeah, we make mistakes, but we learn from that. And I think failing only happens when you stop moving forward. But I'd say one of the mistakes that I've made, or things that I've learned from recently, is that I think I was, even though I you know, have this advice that, like, let's check in with ourselves and validate ourselves, that I was very much looking outside myself for the answer on how do I, you know, how do I become more successful as a business person? And I've hired lots of coaches, and I've been in lots of programs and that kind of thing. And I've just come to a realization recently that, I mean, I was a marketer for 30 years. Like, I know how to do this, right? But I think my fear has stood in the way of me just, like, settling in and listening to myself. And I've had some creative ideas recently that I've given some air and space to, that I'm already starting to see things come back to me, you know. And I think that what I was doing before was, like, allowing the manager part of myself to step up and say, hey, I'm taking control, and not really honoring that creative part of myself, which I get so much energy and excitement and passion from doing things that are creative. And I think sometimes I've put that on the back burner to be practical. And I think I just need to honor that more and, you know, build time into my life and my business to allow myself to just have that open-ended time for creativity.
You know, it's funny. I have a little note that's right by my desk that says, we win or we learn. And
So I like how you framed that as well, you know, because I don't think we win and lose. We win and learn in life.
I agree. I love that saying too. Sorry.
It's true. I want to flip over to your book because I really like the way you structured it. And one of the things you talk about is leverage points. How can people become aware of these leverage points? How does that benefit them? And what is it going to benefit for our listeners?
Well, I think that, I was talking earlier about when they get promoted, a lot of times they continue to try to do their old job rather than recognizing where are the places that I can get some leverage to get more things done without me necessarily having to be the one that needs to do them. And even if people aren't promoted to being a people manager, there are ways that even somebody who's an individual contributor can look for ways to get more leverage out of the time and effort that they put in. And, you know, some of these things are, okay, if something needs to be done, are you necessarily the one that needs to do it? Or is there somebody else that could do this? How can you use your time more efficiently? You know, one of the things that I talk about in the book is the Pomodoro technique. And I know a lot of people will, you know, just try to get things done as they pop up, right? It's sort of like the whack-a-mole approach to, you know, checking things off your to-do list. And I think that it's really important to really be more selective about where you invest your time. So, you know, taking a step back and, you know, thinking about what are the highest priorities for the investment of your time and effort, and really focusing on those things rather than trying to, you know, check off everything on your to-do list. Because some things on the to-do list, like, quite frankly, they don't matter, right? And actually, one of the things that I see with people that are successful, and quite frankly, often this is men, is that, you know, we as women sometimes might look at them and say, oh, well, they don't, you know, they didn't do this right. They didn't fill out this form right, or they didn't whatever. But a lot of times they're focused on the important things, right? They're focused on, like, what does the boss care about? What's going to get me promoted? And they're focused on that as their highest priority, and they may let some other things slip. And I actually wrote about this in the book, too, that sometimes we may – I mean, I certainly did this earlier in my career. Where I would, you know, judge people and I'd say, oh, my gosh, like, he's always late to meetings, or, you know, he doesn't return calls or whatever. And then that person would get promoted and I'd be like, well, that's not right. They're not doing things perfectly. It doesn't matter because they were focused on the thing that was most important. And I think a lot of times we may not step back and say, where should I be investing my time and effort to get the largest return on the investment? This is leverage.
What a great point. And I love how you explained it because it's really true. You know, as women, we get focused on all these little bitty different little things. And guys do. They look at that big picture. They're not worried if you like Charlie and you're golfing with him as long as you're giving them your business or giving them the promotion. Whereas women, I find very often we have a hard time promoting other women because what if they like you more than they like me? We fall into that high school mentality of, you know, you might steal my boyfriend.
Right.
So it's amazing how we come at things from such a different standpoint. And it's amazing how quick time goes. So as we're wrapping up, what advice do you have to share with our listeners about how to have that career happiness and success on their own terms?
Well, I think that the thing that I would say is that what you want to do with your life is important. And, you know, really get in touch with what you're here to do. It matters. And what other people think of you is not actually as important as what you think of yourself and what you get energy and joy from. So pay attention to that and feed that part of your life and your career.
Terry, please let everyone know how they can find you on social media.
I am on LinkedIn at Terry B. McDougall, And my website is terrybmcdougall.com.
There will be a link to being able to purchase the book on our show page, and I really encourage you to get this book. It's really done well, and I like that you encourage people to find what they need in it, that you don't have to read the whole thing. You can go section by section. You share great stories of real-life people and what has gone on in their careers and how they've created things on their own terms, which is so important for all of us. So, Terry, thank you so much for sharing time with us here on Word of Mom Radio. To all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you being here with us. We are going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is
sure.